Jason. I got your last Marco Polo, and I think I can remember the questions. The ombudsman, also known as ombudsperson, ombudswoman, but in general, mostly hear it called the ombudsman. It had its original roots, as I understand it, like in Sweden and in the U.S. It was mostly used around government for many, many years. And then I would say in the 80s, 90s, well, 90s, early 2000s, started making its way into business. And when I have worked with some smaller, really more like nonprofits, we always add the role, but sometimes they call it employee representative, or they call it, you know, whatever. But the point is that it's a place just to direct people for independent filing of grievances and complaints. I liked what you said about, I think it was Travis's sister-in-law, being independent, having a little bit of a legal, some training as a paralegal, etc. Sounds like a good place to start. The most important thing is have a dedicated number. So whether you say it's a box that says ombudsman at visionbbc or bbm.com, or whether it's a phone number or whatever it is, that it's clear that that's a different place that you send stuff versus the normal chain of command or inquiries. Also, the thing that I think is important, and I do not have any of my, I'm at the lake and I don't have any of my paperwork, and I was trying to remember if I even was able to bring it with me from Avenues, and I don't think so, but I'm sure we can do a quick internet research and find what we need. But good thing for the mission to think through, and the church will need to as well. What are the guidelines this person's to operate under, right? So they get a complaint, they're going to investigate it. That's usually their job. So they have some, what do they do with the findings, right? So finding non-valid, you got to always close the loop back with the person some way, some form or fashion, acknowledging that the complaint was received and action was taken. But more importantly, internally. So you get one, Rhonda's the CEO or the director of mission, and there's a problem. This ombudsman finds validity. You know, I would already have it spelled out, just like you guys spend all that time on the policies and stuff. I think it was last year. Where does that person go? Do they go to the legal counsel that the church would be using? Do they go to, if it's not about the director, do they go to the director? If it's about the director, who do they go? So I think I just draw like a decision tree out and make sure that they know how to navigate. So regardless of who that person is, obviously confidentiality, but it'd be a good place to start and do it for like a year, see what kind of data. And this person usually keeps really good records for, that's not the word I'm using for. I don't even speak one language. They keep very good statistics, right? So how many calls came in, or how many email inquiries came in, investigations done, time it took to do investigations, follow back up with the person calling, what was the type of, you know, put some in categories so you can track the data, you know. So maybe there's going to be some discussion up front about how you want to code those data-wise, but this is not something that I would say every director gets to see. You know, we in business always keep it on a very strictly needs to know basis, legal, HR, very, the details are pretty tight. But anyway, but the data itself is usually reported out to, in this case, our board once a quarter or once a year. It says here's how many hotline calls we had, number of investigations, how long did it take to do investigation, what was the outcomes, and if there was any corrective action that had to be taken. So let me know if I'm on the right track for what you were asking. Okay, I hope that's it. I have been praying about this today since I listened to the Marco Polo early this morning, and just, I know every one of you have things to do. I know you've got a lot going on in your respective ministries, and I do understand that the livelihood of so many missionaries being at stake, you know, makes a decision on what to do a little different than if it was a different scenario. But happy to be on your advisory board. That's how I'm thinking about it, is I am a advisor, and you get lots of advice, and then you guys make decisions. But if I can help keep the questions coming, and I know that it seems like an eternity But all this has been less than a week. And, you know, these are marathons, not sprints. And I'm not looking out on social media. I'm not looking for anything else about this. But I would just say, we got to plan the long game, set things up. So hopefully this never happens again. But think about that it could tomorrow. And this current crisis that is in play, you know, I just don't think there's too many players, too many agendas going on. And Brother Gardner himself, depending on the steps he takes, it could calm things or it could flare them back up. And that's not just today. That's 3, 6, 9, a year from now, a member of his family. So you just don't ever know when it might come back to life, one or all aspects of it. So I think the infrastructure that's being put in place is good for a mission this size. And I was already thinking about this with the training center in Alpharetta, with adding the new building and the dorming spaces, because, and you guys probably already had some experience with this there in Latin America or other areas where you're housing people, because the accusations can really pop up then, and not usually while they're there, usually years later. All right, listen, I hope this is helpful. I'm praying for you, my friend. It's 8:15 here in South Carolina. I will be headed back to Alpharetta later tomorrow evening. But we'll keep an eye open for any message coming from you. Take care.
Hey guys, I'll just leave. I don't know that we need to sink and have a whole conversation on Twitter, but I would like to say a couple things. Let's assume that Hefe, that there's nothing else to find. There's no other evidence. There's no other witnesses. There's nothing else to come out about sexual or criminal activity. If that is the case, then we're not, and we're seeking the truth here. But let's say that the truth leads us to that conclusion, which is what we're all hoping for and assuming. If that be the case, all we're trying to do here is build trust with people on the outside that this man is not guilty of what he says that he's guilty of. And if we can have independent investigators come out and say that, then it will give us more credibility, give him more credibility, will allow him to try to rebuild some of his reputation, will allow our missionaries, churches, to trust our missionaries. But if they think it's a cover-up, stink, we lose everything. And there's just going to be a stink among all our supporters and churches, and guys aren't going to get meetings, and they're going to have meetings canceled, and churches are going to say, you know what, I just don't have anything to do with Vision, and we're going to drop all the missionaries. That's what we got to try to avoid. I mean, obviously, if he is guilty of more things, we want that to come forward for the victim's sake and for him to face the consequences. But I just think that in the, I don't know, this just, it just sounds like it could be really, 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 really bad. And I think that Chris Way and his group would have a heyday posting a picture of Eric Knight preaching with Hefe translating, or them, you know, hugging each other and then saying, here's the lead investigator. I just think we would lose, it would be in vain everything we're doing. And it would not only be in vain, it would be the opposite. It would end up being more hurtful. We would lose ground instead of gaining ground. So if he's involved between me and you guys, if he's like in an office somewhere, and you know, it's his group, but his name is not on the papers and he's not doing he's not doing the interviews and the other guys are doing it, I think that's fine, because we can give the credentials of those other two guys that are doing it. That sounds great. I just don't think that we can have his face and his name involved in any of it. Or, I mean, they're just looking to pick everything apart. And I would rather pay somebody three times the amount of money that was from another group, even just a private investigator from Gainesville, just to say, hey, can you go check out this sexual abuse stuff? And like Rhonda said, the truth is, whatever conclusions, even if the guy from Gainesville were to come back and say, okay, my conclusions are he was abusive, he did, you know, physical abuse, he spanked in a way that would have been criminal if it would have been in the statute of limitations, but it's not, and so there's nothing that can be done. And this is, it's a hearsay again, because we don't have evidence, we don't have pictures, we don't have her filing reports, etc. And but sexually, I find that there's no, you know, the story does not fit what is sexual. It's not rape. It's not you know, any of those things that you would make in the list. Great. We take those conclusions, those findings, and we end up writing up a report saying the independent investigator has found the following conclusions. And this report has been reviewed by, you know, however we want to set it up. According to Rhonda, even in secular groups, government groups, et cetera, you don't have to just upload the PDF of the findings. So I think that I would rather go that route than go the route of having it be two steps away from being a laughing stock, and we just lose all of our credibility because of a misstep.
100% with you. And Rhonda talking and walking reminded me I need to get out here and get some exercise. So take care of myself through this as well so I can be useful. Jason, I think part of the problem is, talking to Jeff, one, nobody wants to take the case. He's supposedly reached out to several people. Nobody wants to take the case, A, because they hear the case over the phone and they know that it's going to end up being inconclusive, and that's not necessarily the best reputation of a investigator. It's come to inconclusive. It's like saying, hey, you want to go play a basketball game? It's definitely going to be a tie, but let's go play. You know, people are playing to win one side or the other sometimes. So it's they want to come to a conclusion. Did I win or did I lose? I think that's part of it. The other part, B, would be, it's not about money, it's about reputation. And so a lot of the Christian investigators are looking at this and saying, hey, we get involved, we know what the result's going to be, so therefore we're going to be smeared. No matter which way you look at this, they're going to smear our name, or smear whoever we're connected to. And 3C would be, if you go up higher to the people that are the lost people that investigate this stuff, then they don't understand the church world, and they're going to take spanking and all these other things that were more normative at the time, and blow those up to, you know, modern day definitions, and, you know, really go to take out the church and destroy the reputation of a ministry. So I personally think that somebody should be a Christian that does it, because I don't think that we ought to invite a lost person that could be used of Satan to investigate something. That would be my problem. So, you know, Eric might be our only option. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully he's going to get us back with some other contacts tomorrow. But if, and this is just a big if, because I'm still 100% against using him right now, if it had to come down to that, I mean, I think we'd have to commit to publicly releasing his report, so we can say that we aren't hiding anything. If we're not even willing to publicly release his full report on whatever he finds, then 100% can't use him, because I think it does look like a cover-up. So we definitely need to have a meeting about it. I guess there's not a decision to be made until he gets back with us about the other people he knows and he's going to ask. And supposedly he was told by several people not to get involved because his name will be smeared as well. And I guess the word going around is, don't get involved, because you're just going to get smeared in social media. Like, nobody's really worried. And he was one of the few that was, hey, I'm willing to put my reputation on the line to find out the truth. Everybody else is running for the hills because we're toxic because of their social media campaign. So I hope that helps bring some clarification to some things we need to think through. And I'm 100% against using people like Grace at Filson out, because I think that those are, there might be a place and a time for them. You know, if I was going to go into a brand new ministry and knew nothing about it and wanted to invest, and they had a bad reputation and I wanted to investigate it, like something like that, the clear house. But we're not trying to clear house. That's a clear house type organization. Because the way they define things, everything can be found wrong, and let's just start fresh. And man, it's craziness. So, and I don't think Catholics are Christian, so it's not a Christian organization in my mind. So those are my thoughts about it. I think the two things, private investigator with experience, unconnected division, that's a Christian. That's what we're looking for. And this is another reason why we need to confirm everything together. Until the investigation is launched and it's out of our hands, like, we can't make any unilateral decisions, I don't think, because I think we need to protect each other. All of us see things from different angles. And everybody here brings up different things that nobody else sees. And that's why there's wisdom and a group of counselors. And so that's something that we need to do. Hefe always made the final decision before, but he always had a group of guys that he was always chewing the fat with, and the ideas around with before he would ever make the final decision. And so he might have made the final decision, but it was always there. I think we need to do that among each other. And this is also a good reason why we have no communication with anybody on the outside, because if we would have said, oh, we chose the investigators already, we already got somebody picked out, and or we said, oh, it's a pastor. We, you know, any of those kind of things that we say internally that we're like, ooh, that's kind of makes you cringe. If any of those things get out, you know, it's just going to be attacks against us. So going slow. One, we need to keep going slow. We need to process the decisions, make them together, use wisdom, and stay quiet, make official and statements, and that's it. Because I feel like everybody's rooting for us behind the scenes. Or at least those churches that have a relationship with Vision, they're all rooting for us behind the scenes. And they're saying, hey, we know your guys' integrity, we know your character, we know you're going to do right. And so we're just waiting for you guys to let everybody else know that. And so I think we got to let everybody else know that. Again, we're not here to save Hefe's reputation. Something Chris Gardner said to me the other day that he's learned through this is that you can't be in control of your reputation, but you can be in control of your character. And so we need to let go, in a sense, of trying to control our reputation and try to control our character. And hopefully it works out in the end. And hopefully, if we take the righteous road, as Proverbs says, it will work out in the end. So let's be on the right road.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you letting me see those, especially from Rhonda Gibby and everything Mark said. I'm going to jump back on Slack and see if I can catch up with the 6,000 messages that we just sent out again. I think we need to probably make a call, you know, do a call or something, because I'm for filing and archiving everything that we have. But Lord have mercy, I can't drive and keep up with all the Slack info and everything going on. Let me jump back on that and see if I can catch up. And then if you guys are in agreement, maybe we can make a phone call, at least with those that are awake, and try to catch us up to speed where we are. Gentlemen, I am sending you three text messages. These are from Jonathan Bailey. This happened last night, as you could see, 8:35 p.m. I told him that, and by the way, the last several calls have been way after he's told me it would be done. So anyway, here's the first one. I'll send you the next couple, and then I'll talk to you. Okay, so here's the last one. You guys can read through those. I repeated myself about the, look, this is morphing into spiritual abuse. I'm not sure what's happening here. Anyway, so the next one I'm going to send you will be the letter that he sent me. He said, all right, here's the letter we want to do. My feeling is he's talked more to Jonathan Earnhardt. And that's where, you know, this is coming up. He's probably a middleman wanting to do both. I've told him that I'm the middleman, you know, kind of stuck here, that I don't even want to be here necessarily in this situation. But I'm not sure exactly what to do. I just want this to be a sexual allegation, because that's what it started out with. And he's not accepting that. So I'll send you now the letter. Okay, gentlemen, I'm not sure if you were able to read that letter. If so, I'm sure you've got several opinions, understandably so. Nevertheless, let me state this, and then I'll take whatever you want. No, I do not like that this is moving into a sexual / spiritual abuse. I don't like that at all. Not what was agreed upon. Nevertheless, Jefe's not going to like it. I know you gentlemen do not like it. Nobody really likes this. And I asked for this. Now it's kind of putting me, my back against the wall with Jonathan Bailey and his group. And my back's already against the wall, all of ours is, with Jonathan Earnhardt. Not trying to keep any friendship there necessarily. It is with Jefe at this moment, and is with a whole lot of pastors. But here's my thing. I don't know what to exactly do. And as you saw in the text, you said maybe you're not the, we're not the ones for you. And I'm fine if you guys say, I'm not doing this, we can back out. And I have thought about this and prayed to do the right thing. And so I'm willing to hear whatever you have to say. Nevertheless, I think, Jefe was talking about, Jefe backed off his lawyer, because he said, I want to be, you know, go the second mile, you know, turn the other cheek and different things. And I don't like that. Nevertheless, I respect that and I understand that. Doing this really is going the second mile. Secondly, I would say I don't have anywhere else to turn. My only other one was Eric Knight, and you guys didn't think that was the best, which I do agree with you. Just saying, I didn't know what to do when that did happen. They reached Jonathan Bailey's group. You know, they said they would take it, so that was a blessing. Now morphed into this. I don't know where else to go. If we go for a secular investigator, I think they're going to clean house, and there's nothing that anybody can do, and no pastors are going to respect this. Secondly, if we get that grace group or whatever, then they're going to clean house and all of us are gone, just because the whole environment is toxic, quote unquote. I don't know. So I think our back is against the wall either way. I don't like this. Nevertheless, I think this is the route that we need to go. Now I will keep my mouth shut and let you gentlemen speak as you wish.
What letter are you referring to, Jeff? I don't get any letter. I got the three text messages you sent, but not a letter.
It's in the VBM board urgent group text ring.
Okay, I will look it over. Thank you, Travis.
I just read through everything. I think we definitely need to proceed very cautiously here and not feel like we have to get in a rush to greet anything. I think my thoughts are that this is not an investigation of people who work for us. It seems to be people who are going to do their own investigation, and they're going to do what they want to do based on what we want and what the Earnhardts want. And I think that this is an unequal yoke. I think we might need to consider going a different route with this. But I think we might need a meeting to discuss it, because this is a huge crossroads for us. And once we pull the trigger on this, it's kind of be out of our hands.
I agree that meeting about it would be kind of important. Some observations, which I'm sure you are all very aware of, but obviously we did ask and are looking for an independent investigation to put it in their hands, to let them do it. The three things they mention after the whereas statements, the scope is obviously broader and wider than we believe is necessary, because we were wanting the criminal accusations to be handled by an investigator, not personal character or leadership style. I think that is not necessarily what we're looking for. Even if we did want an independent investigation, I'm not sure why they would be. I mean, I understand why they would want to look into it, because it's also accusations and it's spiritual. It's just, it's not a local church matter, or even organizationally. I don't understand why they would want to cover the scope to cover both personal character and leadership styles, as well as organizational atmosphere, environment, and leadership style. Anyways, so regarding the scope, regarding the process, I do think it's great that they could be a couple pastors involved in reviewing the information, though that's not necessarily required if their scope is limited to criminal accusations. I'm a little confused. I understand where they're coming from. They're trying to both help Christians and legally handle criminal accusations. So I do think that'll be a big cause for discussion for the majority, if not all, the board members. And number three, the results. They're obviously taking a lot of liberty, for everything from the scope to the results, to do whatever they want in the collecting of information and the scope of their research, as well as the releasing of the information. To be fair, I think they appear to want to be independent and fair. I think they're trying to, I don't say bite off more than they can handle, but they appear to want to cover all the issues. Whether or not they should, this is another discussion, but they appear to want to try and help cover all the issues. If we are truly committed to transparency and not covering things up, then I think they are trying to say, hey, you know, we're going to be above board. We'll release the findings. It won't be evident, you know, it won't be tampered with. And, since we're an independent investigation, it should be fine for both sides to see our results, as well as any of the churches, since so many people have a vested interest. So I think I understand where they're coming from. I don't necessarily agree with it. I could see where you would want to have the results available unbiased and unedited. That's true. We don't want to cover things up, but, you know, the handling of information like that, we want to be sensitive to how we handle that kind of information, my personal opinion. I do think a Zoom call would be very helpful. Otherwise, we'll be doing dozens and dozens of Marco Polos back and forth, and it would get be a whole lot better to do an hour or so meeting about this through a Zoom call. So I do not think there is a reason to rush. Yes, we will have to get back to this NCLL and Jonathan Bailey
obviously, but as far as on our end, we are committed to doing an investigation. We are committed to truth and accountability. I just don't think we need to feel rushed to make a decision today. We need to talk to the board members. Obviously, we want to do this the right way. And so we're not just trying to cover things up. We are trying to prayerfully consider wise decisions before we commit to something. So thanks, Jeff, for doing all that and praying for wisdom for you and for everybody. And I'm going to trust the Lord's going to work all this out. All right, if we are pressured to make a decision today or not, some things to consider and a couple questions for us. As far as being able to clear Vision Baptist Missions as an organization, separating the emotions and the personal aspect to it, if we're just speaking as Vision Baptist Missions board members, in the interest of Vision Baptist Missions as an organization, if the independent investigation is done to cover the scope that they are mentioning, both the sexual criminal accusations as well as including spiritually abusive leadership style of Brother Gardner and or extending to Vision Baptist Missions as a whole, then this type of investigation, if we have nothing to fear, and if we're truly committed to growing, and if we're truly committed to transparency, and the current leadership of the board of directors have nothing to fear, then I think something like this could be helpful. Bring things to light to clear our name as a mission board and reveal areas in our life that we want to be conscious to work on. I do not think this will be favorable for those wanting to defend Brother Gardner and his family, his life, his reputation, and his future ministry. Speaking strictly as a board of directors, I do think that this will help the mission organization move forward. Speaking as a personal friend to love Brother Gardner, I don't think that people would. If we're going for the divorce option, I think this is probably better. If we're going for a defend option, then we wouldn't want this. So because we're not defending and we are divorcing, I think this will help us clear our name better. Not easy to say, but I think it'd be better. Next video.
I've been texting, but my problem with this is they have not listened to the parameters we've set. It's not that we're trying to control the outcome. It's not that we're trying to interfere in the investigation, but they're not investigating what we told them to investigate, and we're not in charge of it. So I think it's just a bad business deal because they're trying to add in a bunch of other stuff that isn't the original accusation. It's unnecessary. It's unwarranted. And it's just going to cost a lot of money. I just don't like it. I think it's far too broad. They can investigate anything they want. They can do anything they want with the results. We have to pay for all of it. And Jonathan Earnhardt also is speaking into what they do. So it's just, the whole thing stinks. Now, if we have to do it because there's no other choice, I get that. Basically say we're going to pay people to do anything they want to do to us because that's what we have to do to have integrity. But right now, I really don't like it.
Travis, you bring up some great points. I think both the scope and the results would be concerning. Call me stupid, but why don't we just get a
secular criminal investigator to cover the scope of criminal accusations and make sure that the findings are, the results are given to us and the Earnhardts. We can choose how to disseminate it or whatever, but if we have options, like what Travis says, if we have options, which we do, it doesn't feel like it, why don't we just pay more money for the criminal accusation investigation? Because if we do the route of the full scope of what they want to do, it's not what we're asking for. It's really not, it's not necessary, and it's not their prerogative to decide the scope, because we already said the personal character is a church, local church issue, and organizational leadership style is something that we are addressing. And if it's against Brother Gardner, that's a personal issue. It's not against us as a mission board. They're extending it to us, but if you're talking about a business proposal, if this was any other organization or business or nonprofit, we don't need them to do anything other than check the criminal allegations. We do surrender a lot of control, and I agree, it would probably be more expensive in the long run because they're going to spend more time investigating, more time talking to witnesses, more time, you go from one accuser to like almost 20 accusers. That's like 20 times more expensive because it's 20 times more work for something we don't want them to cover the scope. So I hear what you're saying, Travis. Appreciate the perspective.
It's like having a problem with a blocked drain. So you hire somebody to come to unblock your drain, and they say, we'll only come unblock your drain if we're allowed to check your roof, your foundation, and check anything in your house, and also talk to your neighbors and see if there's any problems they have, but you got to pay for all of it. And then once we're done, we get to tell anybody about all the problems in your house, your entire street, but you got to pay for all of it. It's far too open-ended, in my opinion. But again, if this is the only option, you definitely don't have the choice of not investigating. We might just have to do it and just spend loads of money and prepare for some major, unnecessary time and stuff. So I'm not saying we definitely can't do it. It just seems really over the top.
Okay, Travis, in your scenario, let's just say the Queen of England made the rule that everybody has to get their house checked, and there's only one guy with a license to check the houses. Then we don't have much of a choice. And I'll be honest, I still haven't heard from Mark Coffey. Well, Mark Coffey said he didn't like it. Mark Tolson and Jason. And that's fine. If you guys don't like it, then my recommendation would be to find somebody else, to contact somebody else, and to go with this, because I've exhausted my my contacts, people I know, and I don't know where else to go. My fear is, as I've already stated, and obviously not taken too well, my fear is if we say, sorry, we're going with another investigator after we've already done this, then we've agreed twice with the Earnhardts that I have agreed twice that yes, we're going to move with an investigation, and in the investigation, they're the accusers. We are not. Therefore, we are a little bit. We have a little bit less leverage than they do. I don't think it's right. Nevertheless, this is the position we're in. So, I think we've agreed twice. That's fine. We can back out, but we have to have an alternative. Who is it? Do they respect them? If they don't respect them, then they're going to throw them to the ground again. If none of the pastors that are out there respect these investigators or how we're doing it, we're back at square one. So I think we have to play some ball. We're trying to pull the ball back and say, nope, I don't want to play baseball anymore. Let's play football. And we don't necessarily get the say-so of what we want to do. I don't like any of this, and I don't think it's right. And my name is on that document, so I'm going to be shot by by everybody, as well as I know you guys will, but Hefe's going to be upset at me, and so are all the pastors, and so are the Earnhardts. I don't think I'm going to win either way. I don't think any of us are. Nevertheless, I don't know that we have a whole lot of choice, and that's my frustration is, fine, gentlemen, we don't like this. That's okay, but please give me other options because I don't know what else to do. John Pearson told me yesterday, he said, move forward with another lawyer. My guy is falling through, and I'm very sorry. Nobody is helping out at this situation. Not that you guys are not. Nobody's coming through. No lawyers, no investigators. And so we're stuck all we're doing is dragging our feet. And I know we're not, but that's what it appears. And nothing is happening.
Okay, well, what if we relook at Eric Knight then and weigh him against National Center for Liberty? Is that, I know that gets us the accusation of not being a third party, but I think no matter what we do, we're going to be criticized. I think we pick what we're criticized for. I'm not sure that that's what we want to do, but that might get us more criticism from the 17, but it could limit it, reduce our costs, reduce unnecessary open-ended investigation that could just drag on forever, and just be, but at least it's focused on this particular accusation, which is the most crucial to everything. You know, so is that, could that still be an option with Eric Knight? Like, could we say, okay, we're going to choose either A or B?
Hey, Travis, Eric Knight is no longer an option. That ship has sailed, sadly. When I talked to him, I can show you guys text messages somewhere over the phone, but last time I talked to him, I said, hey, preacher, thanks so much for everything you've done. I think we found David Gibbs Association. We might be going with that. I'll confirm that with you. And he said, amen, this is an answer to my wife's prayers. None of my pastor friends, none of my church people, my wife, nobody wants me to get involved in this. I just felt like I needed to help. And he said, that Lord showed us that. And so his ship sailed. Nobody was in agreement that he did it. He did it anyway. So, sadly, nor his people. They were only going to do it to help him out, his contacts here in Georgia and elsewhere. So I'm at a loss with that. I had a couple of his other contacts, but all that's kind of gone. So if you have other ones that you want to contact or you want to look into, I'm fine with that. I have a feeling that still not going to be accepted. I agree. We're going to face criticism either way. I just don't know that. I don't know there's a winning here. There's definitely not 100% winning, but I'd say if we have nothing to hide, which we don't, and I'll tell Jonathan Bailey about these 17. Come on, man. Let it go. At the most, what do they want? They want Hefe to say, I'm sorry. I was too abrasive with you, and you know, please forgive me. Okay, we'll do that. That's fine. I'll ask forgiveness then. I don't care. I don't see where this can go and what the big deal out of all of it is.
Jeff, something to consider. Three things already, two of them already mentioned, covered pretty well. Number one, it's like a salesman putting us in a high-pressure situation that we need to decide today. And we don't need to decide today. High pressure sales tactic. Number two, they're covering the scope, which is much broader. It's at least 20 times broader than it needs to be. And number three, concerning, right? It's like a plumber coming to your house that doesn't tell you how much it's going to cost. No estimate of cost of repairs. Also concerning. We don't want to go into an agreement where we don't have an idea of their rate or the estimated cost, because you put all those together, right? High pressure salesman, you put them all together, and I'm sure you already, just my perspective, right? We're not gonna tell you a price quote on ours or overall cost, but sign this agreement anyway. We're gonna charge you 20 times the man hours 20 times more work than what we actually want them to do. And like Travis says, we don't have control over the results, and the scope is just completely out of our hands. It's like saying, okay, you fix my house, and then after, you know, after you're done, you just tell me how much it costs, and I'll just pay you. Oh, well, by the way, you need to make a decision on that today, or we're gone. You know, like just three of those put together just sounds like a bad plumber.
The only problem, Brendan, after talking to Jeff, is we only have one plumber willing to do the work, and the toilet is seriously backed up, so I don't know if we have many options, which is really awful when you're only choosing from one.
Sorry, Jeff, I think my last message might be out of order. Mark Tolson wants us to do a Zoom message. I think I see both sides, but if Jeff is what you're saying is true, I won't have any suggestions other than getting a secular criminal investigator who's willing to take our case. If we're back in the corner as it is, as much as I don't really like it, sometimes if there's no other options, you just got to get a plumber to unclog your drain. So, I don't know. Let's wait to hear back from the other board members. I think a Zoom call would help immensely, even if we can't get everyone there, but get a majority of the directors. Let's do a Zoom call, hash this out, because this Marco Polo back and forth and texting thing will get tedious and way too long.
Well, guys, I had made a plan with the family to ski at some point, and we just had a bunch of fresh snowfall. So here I am up in the Andes Mountains. We just got to the ski place, about to go in and work on some of the details and try to get checked in and things like that. I think that maybe we could try to set up. I don't think we need to be in a hurry to make a decision. Think about it, pray about it. We have a meeting about it. First thing that comes to my mind that I would say if I were in a Zoom call right now is, can we get Jonathan Bailey on maybe a 20-30 minute Zoom to ask a few questions? And I think at this stage we negotiate where we say, okay, we understand this is what you're proposing. This is our intention, and the local church has met and discussed this, and so the local church isn't contracting you for these things, but we're more than happy for you to collect that information. You can give it off to Trent and the church, and we're committed to blah blah blah, and this is what we want to contract you to do. So we don't want to pay you your hours. This is not what we're trying to put together, and this wasn't the thrust of the charges made. So I think at this point we negotiate a bit, and if he comes back and says no, he's not interested, that they really are working for the Earnhardts, then our questions are answered and we can move on another direction.
So I talked to Jonathan Bailey this afternoon. He had called me, and so last night, whereas I told you guys this morning in my text and stuff that I was leaning towards no on the investigation by them because they could not agree to a very narrow scope. And obviously the Bailey and them have to be non-partial. And so the question isn't, are they for us or are they for the Earnhardts? That's not the question. The question is, who is it? What is their cause in life? What is it they want to do? Do they want to kill mission boards, or what is it they want? And so from talking to him, he said, what is Brother Austin's path towards public ministry without an investigation? He said it would be better for them if we as a board just wanted to be done and to move on
and had nothing to do with Brother Austin. That's the easiest, but we understand why that's not easy. He has seen many men through the years cry as they realize their ministry was gone, and he totally respects that we would want to not make that the case for somebody that we love. But the investigation path is harder for all of us. And he said the reason is that you cannot get the Earnhardts to agree on the single accusation because it's just a big bowl of spaghetti for them. And the idea of getting, now I'm going to change metaphors, and the idea of getting them to put all the cards on the table and for Brother Austin to look at them and him to respond sounds horrible. But he said the advantages of the investigation, and he still didn't seem to be super excited about doing it, but he says the reason, the advantages of having an investigation is you'd have a time frame. No more, this is what we're going to cover. Everybody would get their stuff in. It would all be out there. It would be looked at. And then it would be reported. And it would seem to be handled. Without an investigation, and the Earnhardts continue to run the narrative, it can be something that will take place over many years, if they want it to be. Every time they decide to put out another video, it seems to be something new and something not handled. So he thinks that there has to be an investigation. And he said, so that's what he said. So I don't know exactly. I just felt after talking to him, I did feel a little bit better, I should say, about his motives. And he said they don't charge. He said they can't represent either one of us, the Earnhardts or us, because they are supported by churches, and so they just have to be fighting for the truth. But that being, it's still risky, though. I mean, we could go with a criminal investigator. Travis has put something out, and I think something like that being done quickly would be great if we could get a criminal investigator to put something out. Because in my opinion, which has been said, that is what churches need immediately. The letter from Tyler Gillett to Mark said, we take sexual abuse and accusations very seriously. He did not say anything about anything else. That's really what churches need. And so maybe we do that and the Earnhardts aren't satisfied and they still keep throwing things out there at us. And we just got to hope that people ignore it. So we could see. But I just was, last night I thought he was telling us that he would not do the investigation, and we needed to find somebody else. But after talking to him today, it seemed like he was willing to do it, and he thought it was probably the only move we can make if we want Brother Austin to potentially have public ministry with us moving forward. But you all know, we can do whatever we want. It's just the question is, do you want to pay the price for it? Or maybe a better way to say it is, does Brother Austin want us to pay the price for it? Because at some point, he's going to have to make those decisions. I know that's hard, but it's true.
Gentlemen, let me say, first of all, Trent, nice haircut. Secondly, I agree in the fact that we could drag this on for a couple years, or we can, this is like when David was told by God that he had three different decisions, fall in the hands of man, fall in the hands of God, the 3 years or the 3 weeks or the 3 days. Let's go with the 3 days in the hands of God. And say, start the investigation and let the chips fall where they may. If at the end of this, Trent is still pastor, Trent will still be pastor. And if I could be, I'll be the doorkeeper, I'm fine with that. And Hefe will not be still on, then that's okay. I think all of that is fine. Nevertheless, I think that, let's just walk in the room, get our spanking, and let's get this over with. I do not want to drag this on anymore. I think what Travis said, he's got contacts. I think that's a good thing. Nevertheless, I think our independent Baptist world accepts that it's done this way. As far as the investigation, it's never been done this way. This is ridiculous. But they will accept this out of everything. So anyway, My vote is let's move forward with this bad dude and get it over with. Jonathan Bailey just wrote me. I've sent it a copy. You and Trent, let me know what you think. Let me go read and see what the rest he says. I say let's move forward on this bad dude and let him question the fire out of us and get it over in a couple weeks and let us rest our head on bed, because this is just drawing out way too long. Okay, my apologies. So I spoke to Jonathan Bailey again. He said, which I know he spoke to Trent as well earlier, and he's very neutral. He said, look, if you guys walked in, I don't know anybody there. I don't know Austin Gardner. I don't know anybody. He said, this is very unbiased. He said, but I know the independent Baptist world. We can either linger this on or we can, you know, get to the investigation and get things rolling. And I said, well, I have some questions. There's seven other guys that do the voting, not just me. And so they want to know as far as how many other pastors are there and are they independent Baptists? And he said, yes, two other pastors. They are both independent Baptists. He said, one is Pastor Travis Smith in Tampa, Florida. He said, independent Baptist, independent fundamental Baptist of a mission agency. I think he's a head of a mission agency. He said, he doesn't know y'all, and we're looking for them. He said there's one other, but he hasn't confirmed. I think it's in, seems like Boston or I don't remember where he said. But he said those two guys, he said they're both going to look at this. And he said the best way to get this done, and I said we don't want a scope of the spiritual abuse because this can go on forever. And he said, look, the best way is you can either keep it going on and on and on, or you get everything pulled out, put it on the table, and let them look at it and say, no, this is actually you know, not manipulation and bullying. This is actually not a sin. This is the way that, you know, he's just a domineering personality. There's no sin in that. And he said, we'll lay it all out that way. And he said, this is really the only way you can get it done in our world. And so I said, okay, what about payment? And he said, well, we are thinking of if we can do, if you guys are supporters of us, $100 a month, he said, we'll only charge $5,000 for the entire investigation. And he said, we can't be on your side, nor can we be on represent the Earnhardts. He said, they do support us monthly. Therefore, if y'all do as well, then it's only $5,000 for the entire investigation. And that's all we, you know, that's all we ask. I said, okay. So in other words, out of your questions, there was one, the independent Baptist. He answered that question for me. Two, the money. And he answered that question for us. And three, at least the big ones, was the scope. And he said, you know, in today's world, he said, years ago, CLA walked in and he said, we're on the side of the church. He said that, he said, in 2021, you can't get away with things as far as people are different and they're going to see this spiritual abuse type thing. But these pastors are independent Baptists. They're going to be able to look at it and say, no, that's really not sin. This is just the way things are going. So I don't see this as a problem. He seemed very, put me at ease. You already know my vote anyway. Nevertheless, he put me at ease with that. So anyway, there's the information you guys can ask. I'll let you know. Trent also spoke to him today. So there's my part of what I think and what he said.
Hey guys, I just talked to a lawyer named Lee Parks Jr. He is with Parks, Chesin and Walbert in Atlanta. He has done loads of these investigations. He's recommended by the Renan Gall, the guy that my sister-in-law told me about. basically, what he said was he really thinks entering into the agreement with National Center for Life and Liberty is not a smart move, because he says you could actually end up worse off than you are. Obviously, I don't think he's a Christian. It's just a secular law firm, so he doesn't totally understand all of it. But what he thinks would be best is to do two separate investigations. He said they could be done simultaneously. One would be the non-employee sexual abuse allegations of Becky, surrogate family mother, family member, and he works for us. He said he thinks it could be maybe 10 to 20 hours, basically, if they're willing to talk to him. And then he would talk, you know, he'd talk to everybody, do a report, and then he would work for us. We could release that report as we see fit. He said the other one with the employees, the spiritual abuse, you know, they do also help with employee stuff, but I don't think this is employee matter. I think it's more a spiritual kind of thing. So he said, you know, you could also then do a separate report. But he said the problem is if we do everything in one, it's going to end up muddying the waters. It's going to affect the integrity of both investigations. And so he really thinks, you know, he says if, you know, if we do everything in one fell swoop, it's going to compromise the independence of the investigator. So he'd be willing to do it. And he thinks his hourly rate is $600 an hour. So if it was 20 hours, you're talking $12,000. You know, obviously it could be more. I don't know. But anyways, I can I'll put his bio in Slack, and you guys can let me know what you think. But that's at least another option for us. I'm not sure who we get to do the spiritual abuse stuff or all of that. You know, he would obviously handle this one. But anyways. Okay, guys, I just talked to a lady named Eileen Berman. She's in Atlanta as well. She is a lawyer and also will focus on independent investigations for people that she's not served as their lawyer in the past. Basically she'd be willing to do the investigation. She, you know, she seemed good. I don't think she's quite as experienced as the other guy, but she seems quite experienced. And she said, that one thing to consider might be that, the fact that she's a lady might cause, Becky to be more willing to speak to her. Her fee is only $475 an hour. She would want a retainer up front of $5,000, but that would be applied towards any of the work she does for us. She did say to think about, we want to try to figure out what are Becky's motives and how do we work towards a resolution, you know, and what would that look like? So that's another option. I don't know what you guys think. She told me, I said, how much do we allow the accuser to dictate who does the investigation? She says, no, you can't do that unless there's a good reason. You know, you lead, you guys are in control of this. But she did say that we need to have, it'd be helpful if we had our own lawyer to whom the investigator then gives the findings to, and then that lawyer helps us figure out how do we release the report. So I think that's where we need to get this Renan Gall guy on a retainer to do stuff for us. So that's what I found out. If you got any questions or thoughts, you can let me know. I'm speaking to Lee, the other guy, at 10 o'clock on Monday morning. Hopefully I can get Jeff on there and we can find out the story with him.
That is good news to hear, Travis. So great news. Thinking about reworking everything that we were thinking about going forward with the MCC being closed, and who do we give that, you know, information to, and the panel of pastors on that front. So basically, we got the Atlanta lawyer doing this, the sexual abuse investigation. It looks like the MCC 17 thing is imploding a little bit with them closing down. So if Trent is on board, then VBM doesn't release the fourth official statement about the MCC group. And Trent can just respond to Tyler, that they can receive maybe the ombudsman can still receive the complaints, and then Tell Tyler, hey, you can send your complaints here and we'll receive them. I got a special council of deacons that will go over everything and we'll handle it as a local church. Something very simple and straightforward like that. I mean, Tyler can't really complain about that if he says the local church wants to deal with it, like if he's on record saying that. And then because now we don't have a place to publicly respond to the people who first heard about the accusations from the 17. So there's no way to respond to them from VBM. So if it's just VBC responds to Tyler, since that's who is in contact, Trent and Tyler got the thing going back and forth, that might allow us time. And if it doesn't work, then maybe we can put the panel of pastors back on the table. But we could take that off the table for right now, because releasing the public statement about this, if Trent sends that email around the same time so that they know that there's something happening with the spiritual abuse, as long as somebody on their team or their 17 knows that there's a pathway to report something about this spiritual abuse, then I think we're okay. So what are your guys' thoughts on that?
One question could be, will the Earnhardts have an issue on the spiritual abuse side of things? Like, are they going to go mad on social media saying it's only this sexual that's being investigated? That's something to consider. And if that's an issue, we might need to let it be known publicly that we do have something for that. So I think that's the one thing we're trying to also stop is the smear campaign of that they're doing.
Hey, anybody that has Marco Polo Plus family plan, could you add me? Because I don't want to pay for it, but I can't speed things up. It'd be really nice to have. Somebody had me on their account one time. And I'm sorry I didn't think of this earlier, Travis. If an accusation came in from Peru, I don't see how there could be one. Obviously, I don't believe that there's any accusations from Peru. But if they had an accusation that took place from Peru, what is our lawyer going to do? Are we just paying him by the hour for a phone call? And I guess that might become an issue, because if they just start rounding up a lot of character witnesses of things that could imply any kind of sexual case, and what does that do for the amount of hours our lawyer's going to have? What Tolson said is what I was proposing the other day, is that all spiritual abuse would be handled by the local church, and I think it's a good policy for all of them. I'm not opposed to the pastoral board of advisors on that, but we should probably put a lot of words on paper before that's ever created. You don't want an advisory board that is a cause of real distress for us because of their opinions of what they may or may not want to be involved in. So I'd be fine. I won't be responding to Tyler or anybody until we come to a decision. But I don't see MCC letting us post anything regardless. Really would like to write and ask them. I'm assuming you won't let us post anything because you wouldn't let them post a retraction. I'd really like for them just to have to admit how they're punks. But, yeah, that's my only question about the lawyer. And I agree with what Tolson said. We could make another church statement and put it on the website so that people could have access to it. But wouldn't be publishing it.
Hey, Trent, I'm honestly not sure. I will ask him about those other accusations. But he seems able to sort through what's legit and what's just hearsay. And I think that a lot of the things have been thrown around, you know, he should just say, okay, give me a number and I'll contact him. And I mean, I think he can do all that quite efficiently. And I think that most of the leads they're going to have are not going to be, they're not going to run very far. But I think at this stage, I mean, he's only going to investigate the sexual abuse allegations of Becky Earnhardt against Austin Gardner. That's the scope of it. So I think all the other stuff, I don't know what he will do with them, but he probably will come back and say, do you want me to investigate this and this or just this? And we can decide, do we want to investigate? So, but I will make a note to try to ask him that question. And if you guys have other questions, just let me know and I'll try to ask him.
I would imagine if it's outside the United States, it'd be out of his jurisdiction, but I could be wrong. Trent, if you can, I know you're going to be busy later on this evening, your time, but if you can have an email prepared that you would be sending to Tyler, that way, once we post the letter online and let NCL know, and all that kind of stuff, you can send that email at the same time. So when they see that we're just doing the sexual abuse case officially, that they're also, the 17 will be informed that there is a path for them to turn in their complaints. And, you know, it'll be very obvious that they're separate because we're not releasing that info publicly. And we had already said publicly that any abuse can be reported to, you know, the ombudsman. And, we already said that publicly once. So with that being said, if you could have something ready, that way we're doing all the messaging at the same time and getting ahead of it. If we choose to do that instead of doing the official letter from VBM to MCC.
So I do think it's good to continue to keep things in the three different issues: the criminal allegations, which we have to remember, Brother Gardner is no longer president, member, associated, or in any way tied to or under the leadership authority of Vision Baptist Missions. So yes, we are doing a criminal investigation. Private independent criminal investigation helped clear our name, but ultimately that is something that's going to have to be worked out independently. So the criminal, number two, personal character, churches handling that, deacons, committee, all that. And then number three, spiritual abuse that's being spoken of is not only spiritual abuse against him, his personal character, but also our spiritual leadership style at Vision. So I think it's good to separate spiritual abuse into two appropriate categories: personal character of one man, and then the spiritual leadership of the mission board. So just like the church is taking care of the personal character, spiritual abuse on the local church side, I think as an organization, having a board of advisors, or the pastoral board, maybe, I do think eventually they need to be separated, a board of advisors versus a pastoral board. But anyways, it doesn't necessarily have to be divided up at this time. I do agree with Trent that before we pull the trigger on that and launch it, it needs to be well thought out ahead of time. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves identifying a need and establishing a policy that isn't thought through yet, at least to appropriate degree before it's announced publicly. So I do think that is a good cautionary advice by input by Trent. I think it's great Travis has been able to find all this stuff and help work things out in finding us an alternative to only focus on the criminal allegations, and giving us the ability to limit its scope and how it's disseminated regarding its results. Another thing is Trent mentioned, or Trent Mark Tolson, MCC 17. I don't really think we have to worry at all about being able to post on the Ministry Connection community. I think if we just post it on, you know, a VBM Facebook page or VBM's website, just have it available on VBM's website for people to refer to it, I think it'll be screenshotted, copied and pasted, downloaded and uploaded on its own, because people are probably going to want to make a big deal out of it. You know, the President of the United States got kicked off a bunch of social media platforms, and he has the same amount, if not more, reach now. All he does is he makes a public statement from the office of the former president, and people just share it everywhere. So I think if we just put it on Vision's website, whether it's the church, whether it's the mission board, whether it's on a Facebook page, I think it'll find its proper ways to the people who will disseminate it for us onto MCC, and we don't have to communicate with the moderators directly. It'll find its way in its own channels. Side note, I do think eventually, I know some people might be opposed to it, but I do think we should reconsider having some kind of maybe not going into details about the criminal accusations, you know, but eventually, you know, regarding the results of the investigation, if you want to share it with churches, we can or we can't. At the very bare minimum, I do think we should consider sending a letter to the churches saying President Austin Gardner, Brother Austin Gardner is no longer president of the mission board, and we have an executive board of directors, and the director of Vision Map's mission, Jeff Bush, to take any questions, just so that they understand Pastor Gardner is no longer the president or the pastor, and that we have a new leadership structure put in place, and that Jeff Bush continues to remain the director of Vision Baptist Missions as the point man representing Vision Baptist Missions as a mission board. So, not to say that we need to be going into all the detail, but I do think showing a proactive reaching out to people, communicating the leadership change is important, and at the same time, helps put anyone at ease that might have heard anything through the grapevine or social media or gossip. They would know that even though they might have heard things through the grapevine, that the main issue is, you know what, the leadership, there is new leadership. It's like posting up on a restaurant or a store under new management. I think the very least quote-unquote letter, a proactive quote-unquote under new management letter, just kind of like an exciting announcement that we have the board of directors with Jeff Bush continuing to be the director of Vision Baptist Missions, and we're excited about moving forward to evangelize the world in our generation and build the Baptist Center for World Evangelism. I think a letter like that going to all the churches would show, help solidify our transparency, accountability, commitment to truth and honesty, and the vision of reaching the world in our generation. Anyways, just some thoughts. I'm glad we're working through all this. Also, another thought, this might be kind of long, but I do think that we should also add it to the agenda for today, Travis, if you guys are up for it, about voting on including a footer to the emails. I do think that all of our emails should begin ASAP, having some kind of legal confidentiality footer as we move forward. And I do think some kind of generic update to VBM in general, just like, I don't know, it doesn't have to say anything other than we're working on stuff and we want to show you that we're being communicative, even if we're not telling you anything new, would be helpful within the team. Anyways, just some thoughts.
All right, Brendan's message got cut off, but if somebody would like to add me to their family plan as well, like Trent, I would appreciate that, so I can two times these. Sorry, Brendan, but I pretty much disagree with everything you just said, because I do not think there is three investigations going on. I do not think there's I think there's one, I don't think we call it a criminal investigation, because there's nothing criminal that can be done right this now, so I don't know that we use that terminology. Going forward, we just say it's an investigation, an independent investigation. To be safe, we can say that. And that is for the sexual abuse accusations from the video. And then the spiritual abuse accusations aren't from the video. The spiritual abuse accusations that we would be having people go against is from the MCC 17 group. Not necessarily from the video, because that's not the main point of that video or what people are going for. But basically, Tyler, you know, said he's going to make videos, and you know, he's really pushing it. And they set up in that group. So if we ignore that group, they're going to jump out and do something stupid. So we got to give a way for them to report. So if the idea was, the original idea was, and I think you guys are getting the pastoral panel and the pastoral advisory board mixed up. The pastoral advisory board is just something we do long term for the board for accountability and stuff. The pastoral panel was going to be the board was going to have a panel of pastors that would receive all the spiritual abuse accusations from the MCC 17 group and go over them, and then, you know, investigate both sides, get both sides of the story, and then make, you know, suggestions on what needs to be done, or if Pastor Gardner needs to be called to repentance, do that type thing. And then Trent and the Special Council of Deacons was going to do that for the on the local church side, and we were going to do it on our side to help, just to show that we're above board with it, and that there's a method where they can report those kind of things. With MCC being closed and us not having to be able to post that publicly for everybody at MCC that saw the first stuff, it was basically our response to the MCC messages in their group. Then the idea is we don't need to do that. Just Trent needs to do his special counsel, but we don't need our panel of pastors to do that, because the board is not under investigation. You said there's three different things. I don't think the board in our leadership style is under investigation. It might have been mentioned in passing, but there's been no specific allegations against our board. And if there is, if you can show that to me, but just saying something in passing or saying, hey, they, you know, they got a toxic culture or something like that is not evidence enough for us to put a whole panel to, you know, take that on or something like that. I think that's overreacting, majorly. And so I think one thing we got to keep, they tried to connect us to, you know, in their letter, but they said, even in their letter, it was false, the MCC 17, because they said everybody was previously part of EBM or something like that, and that's not true. You know, they weren't. The several in there had nothing to do with VBM or Vision Baptist Church and ever. And so I don't think VBM is under any kind of investigation at all, and I do not want that at all. And I think what we're under pressure is to show that we are doing the right thing, and that we're not covering anything up, and that we are being transparent with the investigation. We got a real investigator, somebody really going to investigate the accusation against Pastor Gardner, which is happening, and the local church. And so I think if we release a letter on a website or something, then it would not say anything about the panel of pastors, but it would acknowledge what Trent is doing. So me and Travis talked about having a page that shows the timeline of events of all the stuff that we've done, and so maybe it could include it on there. But I don't think that we want to release anything about spiritual abuse that we're investigating publicly, because nobody knows about that. Nobody knows about the MCC 17 group. So we don't want to be the ones that make that public, because it was shared in a private group. They even said this is shared for private and not for public, to be dispersed publicly. So let's stick with that and not be the guys that, you know, shoot ourselves in the foot.
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I think you're right. They're not three separate investigations. I didn't mean that we need to call them criminal investigation. So I was strictly speaking about internally how we view the issues. So there's three separate issues. And I think not three separate investigations, nor that we need to make it public that there are three separate issues, but in how we handle them. There is the sexual or physical or child abuse, which would anything falling under the criminal issue would be handled in their independent investigation. Personal character of Brother Gardner would be the church, and then the leadership style issue, not accusation, the issue. You already mentioned it's a good thing for us. We have the ombudsman. We have, you know, we want to show that we are doing well as an organization handling this issue. So I agree with you. They're not three separate investigations, but internally, we have to address the three separate issues, whether we respond in the Facebook group or simply just internally make sure that we are addressing that issue. Anyways, sorry for the confusion. And you're right. The pastoral committee is separate from the idea of a board of advisors.
Hey, guys. I'm still listening to some of these. The Earnhardts, the last tweet that they made was a tweet that said that they are still waiting on the scope of the investigation details, which leads me to believe that their next jump is going to be pouncing on the fact that we didn't leave it broad enough. And I'm fearful that's the next step for them, which if we decide to pull back on the pastoral thing, you know, that could be good because we could save ourselves a headache. But if we pull back too far, we might end up just opening up the door for them, and then we'll look like we're reacting again by proposing the special committee instead of getting ahead of them and proposing it before they attack.
Yeah, I thought I saw something where they were now doing the same thing where they're saying it's all packaged. So I think they're either listening to the MCC crowd and the spiritual abuse, or they're conveniently using what they're saying as well to garner support. So I think both sides are going to cry out if it doesn't look like we've done something to provide for all the aspects.
Yes, I think Jason's a good point. I really just think we take the three separate issues and handle them the way they need to be handled and set up what we need to be set up, and we don't have to worry about reacting. We don't have to worry about what they're planning. We have the investigator for criminal. We have the personal character from the church. And we have the spiritual leadership style revision map dismissions, where we have a board of advisors. We also have a pastoral committee making sure that we are above board in all aspects of our ministry. That covers any current or future accusations against leadership at Vision Map Dismissions. It covers both the board of advisors as well as the KCAW. It's not the committee of pastors. We don't even have to say why we have the committee of pastors. We only have to say why we have the board of advisors. Having a board of advisors helps make sure we covered our KCAW stop. Having a board of advisors covers us. Having a committee of pastors covers us. It's just something that no matter what they throw at us, we're covered on all three issues. So anyways, I'm sorry for being redundant. I just don't want us to have to worry about what they're bringing forward. We just established the structure, the policies, procedures, and the steps that we would take. And then I don't think we have to fear anything. Like, at least for my sane way of thinking, we just set up what we need to set up. And no matter what they'll throw at us, we have a pastoral committee to review anything. We have a board of advisors. You know, we're just absolutely covered. So, anyways, just my opinion.
What Mark Tolson was saying is relevant because the board is not under investigation. The board is not being attacked. The only attack toward the board or the critique toward the board is that we have enabled an abuser, Austin Gardner being the abuser. And so the letter they laid out were complaints against Austin Gardner, and the only tie we have to this problem is the fact that we allowed it. So I don't think that we need to have anybody investigate the board or our culture. I think what they need to do is to see the complaints of these 17 and then hear Austin Gardner's side, and then, you know, propose something, or at least we could say it's been investigated, and they can give us suggestions toward how to better our culture or whatever. But I think that we don't want to go too far, in my opinion, and try to solve a problem that's not there yet.